You're listening to Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very important Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. So we just interviewed Dan Schultz. This is probably for all of you guys out there. I was wishing and hoping for the universe to deliver someone like him to me because I don't have the resources to put all the things together the way he did. What did you think of his presentation?
I thought it was good. I really did appreciate that there is a little bit more of a defined way for people who are not giving up. They know that we are a massive majority of people in this country and that we are motivated and that, yes, there is this black cloud hanging over what we're living through right now because a massive string of crimes was committed to force us into this situation. So we start wondering, what do we do? Do we give up on everything or do we try to find tangible, very reasonable things that we can affect control over wherever the hell we are in this country? And that is what Dan really brings to light, is how to actually make our physical presence in certain organizations and localities felt in more effective ways, and not committing to thinking that your time spent on Twitter hashtagging away is doing anything, or sending out mailers or anything. How to actually make our numbers work for us in very meaningful and effective ways, and quickly too. So
yep.
I think that was the best part about the call.
Yeah. So what is basically the strategy here is to literally take over the Republican Party using the existing mechanism that is there right now. And I talked about this a couple times on the show before, and we talked about it today in this interview you're about to hear. We did this already. The Ron Paul Revolution did this already back in 2010, 11, and 12. And we were very, very effective. We just lacked one thing. We lacked a critical mass of people. And we have that right now. There are something like, he said, 200,000 open slots in the Republican Party leadership right now in local areas, in your state, in your precinct where you live, where you can take power there, sometimes by default, and you will have a say in literally everything, including voting integrity, voter integrity, and changes to fix that mechanism at the local level, which will then trickle all the way up. And I mentioned, Frank, that, you know, literally there's these rhino-like moderate Democrats that are trying to leave the Republican Party and start their own because we have effectively already kicked them out of the party.
Yes.
Now we need to use the rules that the Republican Party has put into place to kick the rest of these idiots out of the party. And they don't want you to know this stuff or how to do it. But you guys have been asking, well, what do we do? How do we do this? What can we do? Here is something that you can do with, honestly, a minimal time investment and make a massive difference across the country. So Dan's going to explain it all to you guys. There's tons more information available at his website, which is in the show notes today. But it just in case you don't know, it's theprecinctproject.wordpress.com. And Frank, are you going to go out and take over your local GOP as a committeeman now?
You know what? I don't know. I think what I'm doing right now is probably the best that I can do at the moment. But at least I know the options there.
Matt.
Definitely Matt. But the bigger thing here is this. New York really wasn't the deciding factor, going to be the deciding factor. I mean, in the interim, you always got to make inroads wherever the hell you are. And we did see major thinning of majorities or thinning of disparity between these, I guess, we're going to say mainstay candidate types over here in New York. It wasn't walkaways. People didn't just like take their candidacy and just walk away with the the House seat or something like that, A, unopposed, and B, by hundreds of thousands, it lessened to tens of thousands. So there are things happening here in New York, and it should be good for people, everybody. I mean, if you haven't found where you fit in yet and what you can do with some extra time, if you feel like you got to put yourself towards something, you have a little bit more time, even if you want a hobby, make hobby liberty. And go out and do it. There's something for everybody. The other thing there too is when you look at the swing states, you call them swing states. I think they were all very effectively trounced.
Yeah.
You look at those swing states that are in question in the 2020 election. That is where I hope people get the word out about things like what Dan was talking about and really go and put the vice grip down on their state legislatures and everything else, because there's just betrayal all over the place. And it's only made possible because it's not even that we're lazy. We didn't even know that this whole system exists.
Yeah. Very, very few people knew this was even a possibility, let alone something that they could do. So before, you know, listen to this podcast. I have told Dan that I will dedicate myself to helping him get this to as many people as humanly possible. If you guys are interested in getting together a training or a Zoom or something, or, you know, if you want to help organize a team lead in your state to get together the information you need to disperse to people in your state and your groups that are, you know, conservative, let me know. You can email, I guess you could use info@uncoverdc.com to send me an email. I am committed to this. I already know that it works, again, because we did it. And this is the way. I tell you, I can't say it any more strongly. This is the way. And without further ado, here's the interview. So I am super excited, and Frank is too, to be joined by Dan Schultz, who is doing something everybody's always asking. You know, what can we do? How can we take this thing back? What can we do? And he has a site called The Precinct Project. It's theprecinctproject.wordpress.com. And I was lucky enough to be introduced to him. And we're going to tell you guys today, I guess, Dan, can we call this like a mini training?
Sure.
Yeah, on how we can loop in election integrity, but at the same time, really take over the Republican Party, like legitimately. Frank, we talk about this all the time. It's hyper-local, so we're going to get to poke Dan's brain today. Dan, tell us when you started doing this, what you're doing. Just give us an intro.
Okay. Thank you. It started for me way back in 2007 when I was living in California, in Los Angeles. I was involved in the Second Amendment movement. I had started a group called the Lawyers Second Amendment Society because of the assault weapons ban. And then eventually I moved my family over here to Arizona, but I was still kind of commuting back and forth. And the illegal immigration problem had just gotten out of control. And I decided I got to do something. And I knew about the precinct committeeman strategy. I knew about becoming a precinct committeeman, but I thought that I wasn't needed in the party here in Arizona because it was Goldwater country. And, you know, as Ayn Rand says, check your premises. And I hadn't checked my premise. My thought was, well, this is Goldwater country and the party is probably full and I don't need to get involved. Eventually, I met a guy who said about the border situation, yeah, it's great to go down to the border and observe the border and help with the border patrol and all that. But there's another thing that we can all do, and that is become a precinct committeeman in the Republican Party, because over half of these slots here in Arizona are filled, more than half. And that flabbergasted me. So I did it the old-fashioned way. I immediately called my county committee. I kept calling. Remember, it's they're all volunteers. And eventually, after about a week, somebody did call me back This was back, like I said, in 2007, the Maricopa County Republican Committee didn't even have a functional website at that time. So a volunteer called me back and I said, look, I want to get involved in the party. Where do I go? So the person told me, you're in Legislative District 17 at that time. Here's where they meet. Go to the meeting. I go to the first meeting. There's about 20 people there. They asked me, because I'm new, to say something about myself. I say, I'm Dan Schultz. I'm a Fred head. I don't like John McCain. I'm very conservative. But where is everybody? And they said, well, what do you mean? I go, there's only 20 people here. And they said, well, this is about what we get every month. I said, well, how many slots do you have for this legislative district committee? They said, oh, we have about 160 slots. I go, well, how many are filled? They said, oh, about 40. So 40 slots out of 160, you know, do the math. That's not very strong.
No, it's not. I'm going to stop you for 1 second because I just want people to understand your background a little bit. You're an attorney, correct?
Yes.
My favorite type of people to talk to, by the way.
Yeah.
And you before you were an attorney, you were always an attorney, right? I mean, that's what you've done for most of your life?
No. Here, my thumbnail sketch is this. I grew up in a small town in Buffalo County, Wisconsin, on the banks of the Mississippi River. It was like Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn and all of that. It was a fantastic place to grow up. Little tiny town. I ended up on a lark applying to the military academy, West Point. I got accepted, so I went. After I graduated, I went into the Army and was a counterintelligence officer and a human intelligence case officer. But I caught the law bug while I was in law school, while I was at West Point. And so after my active duty time commitment expired, I went to law school. Hmm. And growing up in my little town in Wisconsin in the public school system in seventh grade in 1968 and 1969, I learned about basic American civics from my social studies teacher, Sam Elver, who I dedicated my little book to. And he taught us how the parties work. They don't teach that anymore in school. So but I was taught it. And then I also got to go to Badger Boys State when I was between junior and senior year in high school. So I knew how all of this worked. But he told us, look, you don't have to be in the party. You don't have to do this stuff. But you have to do it if and when your country gets into a political crisis. I've taught you what you need to do when that happens. Well, we were in a political crisis back in 2007. We've been in a political crisis ever since. And what I've been trying to teach people how to do is get involved in party politics. I keep saying that as to conservatives. Conservatives suffer from something that I call PPPDS, political party participation deficit syndrome. They don't like politics. They don't want to be involved in politics. They're good, decent people, but they just hate politics. Well, get over it. We need you. We need to get organized and united politically. And the best way to do that is through a political party, like it or not. And you've got to go to these meetings, learn how to become a precinct committeeman, and become part of the solution. Precinct committeeman are the party.
Well, that was my next question. What is the role of a precinct committeeman and why is it important?
I'm glad you got to that, Tracy.
Thank you. The most important thing that a precinct committeeman does is they get to elect everybody that's running the party. So, for example, here in Arizona, the way it works, once you become an elected precinct committeeman, you get to go to your county your county committee meeting, and you get to elect directly your county chairman. Here in Maricopa County, that's a big deal because 63% of the Republicans in the state of Arizona reside here in Maricopa County. If you become a Maricopa County precinct committeeman, and over about two-thirds of these slots are vacant right now, So you win by default when you run. Once you get elected, you go to an organizational meeting of the county, and you get to elect directly the county officers, including the chairman.
And what kind of power do those people have? Like, what do they do?
The county chairman, let's assume that the county committee gets showered by a bunch of money from donors. The county chairman is the person who has sole authority on how and where that money gets spent. So if you're on the county committee and you've elected a good county chairman, the stewardship of that money will be very good, especially if it's a conservative. But if you're not there to cast a vote and you're outnumbered by non-conservatives, that chairman might be a non-conservative, and the money is not going to be spent for conservative Republican causes, but for something else.
So what are they allowed? What are they allowed to spend that money on? Like, what does that money go towards? If there's a donor in Maricopa County, let's just say,
they can spend it on just about anything. If they spend it on candidates to help particular candidates, then that all has to get reported to our state version of the Federal Elections Commission. So it's tracked. But if they're spending it on things like, you know, overhead for offices and things like that, if it's not directly to a candidate, then they can spend it however they want. But the important thing is that the county chairman, we have 15 counties in Arizona, only 15. The 15 chairmen of the counties, they serve on the executive committee of the state committee. And that's the other thing that precinct committeemen do here in Arizona. At that organizational meeting that you go to, you also elect for every three state committeemen precinct committeemen, a state committeeman. The state committeemen then go to the state organizational meeting in January of the after the even numbered primary year. So we just had our state committee organizational meeting. We reelected Kelly Ward by a very small margin to the chairmanship. She serves a 2-year term on the RNC. So the precinct committeemen elect state committeemen who elect the state chairman who serves on the RNC. That's real political power. If you want a conservative on the RNC as our state chairman, you got to get a majority of conservatives into the precinct committeeman ranks to elect a majority of state committeemen to elect the state chairman. The other thing that precinct committeemen do is they elect every 4 years the delegates to the state presidential nominating convention. If you want to have conservatives as delegates to the state nominating convention, you got to have a majority of conservatives in your legislative district. We have these caucus meetings. Anybody can come and be a delegate to any Republican can be a delegate, run for delegate. But the only people who get to elect the delegates are the state, are the precinct committeemen. So those precinct committeemen elect those delegates. Those delegates go to that one-day state nominating convention. There they elect the national convention delegates. They also elect the national committeeman and the national committee woman. They serve for 4 years on the RNC. So again, if you want your national committeeman and national committee woman to be a conservative, you got to get conservatives in the majority in every legislative district and county where those delegates to the state convention get elected who elect those people. There's one other thing that's really important. It's not this way in every state, but it is here in Arizona. The other thing that the state chairman does in the presidential election year, who gets to be the Republican electors of the Electoral College? You know who? The people selected by our state chairman. State chairman by statute here in Arizona, the state chairman of each party, they are the sole person who select the Electoral College members. Again, if you want to have a good person, an honest person, choosing those electors, you got to become a precinct committeeman so you can make sure that the state chairman is a good person.
So now, just getting local again, because this is all really important stuff, and I just want to translate a little bit into real world consequences, for lack of a better word. If you do what you're saying, which we're going to go through how in a few minutes, and then let's say you magnify your local GOP with conservatism and whatever, and then a real good candidate comes along who wants to either primary the existing like rhino that's in your state legislature or in your Senate or whatever, you then have the power to support the candidate who best represents the values that your group exemplifies. So yes. There's these great Republican candidates that come up but get no support from the GOP at all. I have a few right off the top of my head, like what's her name in Nevada? Shoot, her name is escaping me, but she used to be Mindy Robinson, or Buzz from California, or Laura Loomer, let's just say, in Florida.
Yes.
You then have the power to support those candidates with the bucket of money that your local office has, correct?
Yes, but better still, it really doesn't take the money. What it takes is the little bit of grunt work that you have to do. When I say grunt work, I mean things as simple as this, because I've done this. I did this in 2016 for a friend of mine who ran for the state legislature to take out a rhino in the primary. And he came to me and he said, "Dan, I understand you know how to do this stuff. Will you be my campaign manager?" And I said, "Sure." And here's what we did. And we only had one quarter of the bodies that we needed, because in my legislative district at that time, only half of the precinct committeeman slots were filled, and about half were rhinos and half were conservatives. So the half that were conservatives, we had a meeting. And we created call and walking sheets for each precinct, and we doled out to the precincts, to the precinct committeemen and other volunteers. Some of them were volunteers, not precinct committeemen. But what we did is this: we targeted the lower information, lower propensity voters, the ones who don't normally vote in the primary and the general election 50% or less of the time. The people who just, they're good people, but, they're not into politics. Americans hate politics, mostly. And so what we did is we called those voters. That's about 40% of the voters. And we called them and we said, "Hey, this is as simple as this. Hi, I'm Dan Schultz. I'm calling on behalf of my candidate. His name literally is Frank Schmuck. Frank Schmuck, I'm calling on behalf of Frank Schmuck. He's a real conservative. He's challenging Jeff Dial, who was the rhino incumbent. Jeff voted in the middle of the night for Medicaid expansion, Obamacare. He lied to you. He said he would never do that, but he did it anyways." That was the fundamental issue at that time. Said, "I'm going to bring a flyer to your house. It'll show you the difference between Frank and Jeff. If you'll go vote, you could really make a big difference in this election. Click." Okay. So, and then I left, my name and my number. I had a script for everybody. Then we delivered those flyers to those houses. We boosted turnout significantly of those lower information, lower propensity voters. And we won 53-47 in the primary. We were the only candidate that took out a rhino incumbent in the state that election cycle.
So now it does work. The next inevitable question or thing that I'm hearing from everybody out there, once I said we were going to be talking to you today, is, well, what's the difference? The machines are all rigged and it doesn't matter if we can't get these elections back. How do we win? So how does this sort of power that we would be taking back to the people translate into being able to insist and enforce election integrity?
Yes. This way, I was at my legislative district 18 committee meeting last night, and Liz Harris was there. She's in LD 17, which is just to the east of me. I'm in LD 18. So we had our meeting, and we had 25 new precinct committeeman applicants there at the meeting. And one of the people after the meeting came up to me and said, I have to meet you. My mother saw you on with Steve Bannon. She said, you got to go meet this guy if you see him and thank him for being on Steve Bannon. So she did that. And then one of the things I said to her was this. I said, here's the thing. When you call up a representative, an elected Republican or even Democrat, if you can start out the conversation by saying this, hi, I'm Dan Schultz and I'm a precinct committeeman in Legislative District 18. Whoa, the staffer that takes the call or the elected office holder themselves, they now know that you're a ball player in the real ball game of politics. And then when you follow up and say, and I'm a conservative and I'm going to recruit every conservative I know to become a Republican precinct committeeman, and we're going to take you out in the next upcoming primary election if you don't follow the Constitution and make sure that we have real elections with election integrity that are verifiable. We're going to take you out. And that's what we're moving towards here in Arizona. We are going to be pressuring the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and all of our elected representatives in our state House and state Senate to fix this problem and get rid of these Dominion machines. Break the contract, get rid of them, go back to paper ballots, do it the old-fashioned way, spend whatever money it takes to have real election integrity. Precinct committeemen are the foot soldiers, the army that can make that happen and create a credible threat. It's one thing to say, oh, we're going to primary somebody. The question then becomes, who is going to primary somebody? Well, the who are the precinct committeemen, because the precinct committeemen are fundamental for getting out the vote in that all-important, traditionally very low turnout primary election. Usually in a primary here in Arizona, the turnout of Republicans is something like 20-25%. Well, if you can target the 75% that don't normally vote in the primary and boost their turnout, give them a reason to go vote, they'll go vote. But you got to be able to target them. And what do you need to target them? You need real people. See, those lower information, lower propensity folks, they don't pay attention to mailers. They don't listen to the TV ads and the radio ads. Mm. What they need is a gentle reminder and a reason to go vote from a real live person, a neighbor. When you call, you say, I'm Dan Schultz. I'm a precinct committeeman. I live in your precinct. I'm your neighbor. I need you to go vote for this, that, or the other thing. Your vote really makes a difference. I'm going to drop a flyer off at your door. And when you've got all the precinct committeeman slots filled, each precinct committeeman only has to invest about 3 hours of time to make this happen. That's all. And that's all I ever ask anybody for, because most Americans, even conservatives, they won't give you more than 3 hours of time. But if you give them a task and show them that it really works and just ask for 3 hours, they're likely to do it, especially if you can prove that this works. And I can prove that it does work because I've done it.
I know it works because I keep on talking about this. We did this, and we were probably fighting against you and your search to do this for Romney, to be honest, back in the day, because the we were fighting you with your own strategy.
Yeah, I remember it. Did you ever meet a guy named David Fitzgerald?
You know, the name sounds familiar, but it was so long ago.
Well, let me tell you about David. I give him credit for this. He used to stand up at the meetings when he would talk about becoming a precinct committeeman. He'd have a clipboard in his hand. And he says, see this clipboard? He goes, you can't call yourself a political activist unless you've had a clipboard in your hand in the election cycle. And you were getting signatures for either somebody to get on the ballot or something to get on the ballot. And see, The reason that's key is because here in Arizona, to run for precinct committeeman in the primary election, you have to get 10 signatures. One of them can be yours, and in some precincts it's less than 10, but no more than 10. So if you are getting signatures for something or somebody to get on the ballot, you're a political activist. And that's one of the slogans that he had for recruiting precinct committeemen.
Well,
he's a good guy.
We did this. This is what we did. We went around. We took over a good bunch of them. And we even had training classes like we were talking about on the phone for Robert's Rules of Order, because we'll get into this in a second. But they'll use those against you to try and stop you from advancing initiative. Right. And we did this, and we were able, like you were talking about with the delegates, we were able to put Ron Paul delegates in, and we did it. We got our Ron Paul delegates to convention. So many of them, in fact, that Romney and the GOP, who hated us with a passion because we outsmarted them, they changed the rules on convention floor to prevent the Ron Paul delegates from standing up. And just coincidentally, or serendipitously, I could say, in 2016, that rule change that they made on the floor, and they didn't even get a real voice vote. They scripted the whole thing. But that rule change for Romney is what allowed President Trump to take the nomination, because they couldn't reverse that rule change. So the delegates that were supposed to step up for Cruz weren't allowed to. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes. I never even knew that.
Yes.
Or put it together, because obviously I knew about the switcheroo they did to throw a wet blanket over Ron Paul, but I didn't even put the two and two together.
Yeah, it's why the Ted Cruz delegates were met with a stonewall, because they had done that voice vote for Romney in 2012 and changed the rules on the convention floor about delegates. But let's talk about, every state is different. So if I were somebody who's just ridiculously enthusiastic and wants to do something now, how do I even start?
Well, I put together a little blog where I've tried to put something for each state on the blog. It's called theprecinctproject.wordpress.com. Theprecinctproject.wordpress.com. And, essentially this is what you have to do. And now with the internet, it's much easier than it was way back in 2007 when I did it. The old-fashioned way is to just find your county committee. Every county has I take that back. In some states, a county committee might not even exist. Mississippi, for example, is so red in some counties that they don't even bother with a county committee, because the Republicans are always going to win. But in, I'd say 97, 98% of the counties in the country, there's a Republican county committee, and that's where the action takes place. There's the Republican National Committee, which has state committees in each state, each territory, and the District of Columbia, and then down from there, below that, are the county committees. You want to find your county committee, you want to get in touch with one of the officers of your county committee, and you want to ask them, what precinct do I live in, if you don't know. In some counties, you can look this up online with the elections department. The other thing you can do is call the elections department and say, I'm a Republican. I want to know what voting precinct I live in. I want to join the Republican committee for this county. Where do I go? And they can tell you. But again, it varies greatly from county to county. But the key thing is, you got to find your county committee. You got to talk to the county committee officers, and you got to ask them, when and where do you guys meet so I can come and volunteer to fill a vacant precinct committeeman if there's a vacancy. If there isn't a vacancy, which is unlikely, but it might be the case, volunteer to be a helper of those precinct committeemen. And then when it comes time for the elections of the precinct committeemen in your state, however that's done, some states do it by caucus meeting. Our state does it through the primary election process. However it happens, then you want to have learned the ropes sufficiently so that you can run for precinct committeeman and maybe dislodge somebody who's may not be as conservative as you in that particular precinct that you reside in to represent that precinct. Again, it varies. In Ohio, for example, every precinct has two precinct committeemen and only two. Arizona's way different. We do it by population. So some precincts have one or two precinct committeemen in a precinct, one for every approximately 125 voters. Some of our precincts are huge, and they have 50, 53, 55 precinct committeemen slots. So it varies from state to state. And then the other thing that you have to get is an ask for when you finally get to your county, or maybe go online and go to the state committee website, is every state has a precinct committeeman handbook that explains all of this. So you want to get a copy of that. And the other thing you want to get is your state committee bylaws. It might be 6, 7, 8 pages. It tells you how what the rules of the party are at the state level, and then get a copy of your county committee bylaws, which again explains how it works at the county level. And then if you're really lucky, you've got somebody like me in your state who has written up like a how-to manual, boiled it all down and shown how the precinct committeeman gets elected, who the precinct committeeman elect, and why the position is so powerful. And then what you do once you become a precinct committeeman, you seek out all of the conservative precinct committeemen that live in your precinct and live in your county, and you create an informal caucus where you're meeting separately, communicating separately. And we do that here in Arizona on our website called rightlanenetwork.com, rightlanenetwork.com. And what we do there is we share information about how to become a precinct committeeman for conservatives, and then we have a chat forum, but you can only get into the forum after we've vetted you. And once you're in the forum, now you can communicate online privately and securely, not on Facebook, but privately and securely on a platform where you can talk about anything and everything with your cohorts in your legislative district, in your county, in your precinct, across the entire state. We're building that, and what we're hoping to do is share that with conservatives in every other state in the union, and just say, here, we've got a template. Look at this. You can do this too. It's not hard to do. Just download the whole site and change the name to, you know, whatever you want to change it to. Change it and tailor it to your state. It's a template, Essentially, we have to get organized and united politically at the local level to take over and take back the Republican Party, which is now being run at the RNC level and at many of the state committee levels by people who really aren't Republicans.
Right.
They're masquerading as Republicans. They're Democrats.
So what we need, it trickles up, which is interesting in this case. It doesn't trickle down. It trickles up. So this is why this is important. I lost my mic. I'm sorry about that. This is why this is important, and I want to stress this. It's important because this. You spend a couple hours. You do this stuff. You get your friends who are ready to get into action and actually make a difference and do something. You go and you take over your local county or precinct chair. Then you have the votes to do the rest of the things you need to do in your state to get up to the state committeeman. And once you get to the state committeeman, if you've got a state committeeman, or however many there are for each state, that is of mindset like we are, then you control the top of the party, which would then control the candidates, which then trickles into all of the other issues that we're having right now. It is literally how you get involved in politics at a local level in a way that is manageable. It sounds like it might be overwhelming and complicated, but you've written a book, right?
Yeah, I have a short book. I made it as short as possible and as inexpensive as possible, because this really is not complicated. It's all about just doing it. And it's called, it has a very catchy title. I'm being facetious. how to get into the real ball game of politics where you live to help President Donald J. Trump make America great again. And essentially what I did is I just wrote the bare bones of how to become a precinct committeeman and why to become a precinct committeeman, and tried to steer people into what we've been talking about, how to find your county committee, how to approach them politely, because you don't know what you're walking into. You might be walking into a county committee that's hostile to conservatives. But the beauty of this system is eventually they can't keep you out, because here in Arizona, for example, we elect precinct committeemen through the primary election process. Nobody can prevent you from getting on the ballot. You can do that through the elections department. You don't even have to talk to the party, and then you run for precinct committeeman. And the people who elect you are the Republicans in your precinct who would vote for you. Now, right now, 95% of these precinct committeemen elections don't even really happen, because we have a statute that says if the number of candidates for precinct committeemen in a precinct is equal to or less than the number of candidates, then you win by default. And to save money, they don't print up a ballot, which is bad in a way, because when you go to your polling place, you won't have a precinct committeeman ballot if you're going to win by a default. So nobody knows then about these precinct committeemen, unfortunately, but except if they learn it from somebody like me. So in other states, there are caucus meetings that you go to. In Texas, for example, on primary election day, when the polls close at every polling place, you go back to the polling place at 7 o'clock, and then the Republicans caucus, the Democrats caucus, the Libertarians caucus, and whoever shows up can say, I want to run I think they call them precinct delegates in Texas. And there's an election held by the people who show up. Well, oftentimes what happens is nobody shows up, or one or two people show up. Well, the one or two people who show up will win by default. They'll be the precinct delegates moving forward. So it's a huge opportunity right now for conservatives, because there's so many vacancies. So you're needed in the party. You're desperately needed as a conservative to come into the party. And what I don't understand is why President Trump didn't recognize this power vacuum in our party.
He's not a politician.
In 2015, and then after he got elected, why he didn't recognize that what he needed to do was Trumplify our party by getting all of his Trump supporters, his donors and his, you know, MAGA people, into these vacant precinct committeeman slots. I tried to get him to do that. I tried to get an audience with him. I sent him my book. I got a nice little letter, canned letter back. Thanks for your gift, blah, blah, blah. But did he, you know, that book, I think I sent him two books. They're in a box somewhere in a warehouse. Nobody read the book. And whatever gatekeepers he had to get to him, you know, what happens with the gatekeepers around a candidate is most ideas die because of not invented here-itis and nobody's ever done it that way before-itis. And what if somebody had come to him and said, hey, I got this guy, Dan Schultz. He knows how to take over the Republican Party. He needs 20 minutes with you. And then I got 20 minutes with him, and I explained it to him, and he got it. Well, guess what? He would turn to the people who brought me to him and say, why the hell didn't you tell me this 4 years ago?
Yep.
Exactly.
You're fired. Yep.
And that's why I couldn't get my ideas to him, because everybody was afraid that if they took my ideas to them, they'd have to give me credit and then they'd get fired.
How many vacancies are there right now? Do you know?
Right now across the United States, these are estimates, but they're pretty accurate. There's about 400,000 of these slots in the Republican Party. Here in Arizona, there's about 13,000 of these slots. Here in Arizona, 65% of these 13,000 slots are vacant. across the country, the estimate is of the 400,000 slots that exist in each state in the five territories in D.C., about 200,000 are vacant.
We need 200,000 people out of the 80 yes. million that yes. voted to yeah. step
it's
up.
It's about 0.3%. If 0.3% of Trump supporters, 0.3%, 200,000 did this, we would take over the Republican Party. We would guarantee better people getting elected in the 2022 primaries and general election. And by 2024, we would reclaim the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
And again, people are falling back to how can we be sure that that's going to work if our votes aren't being counted properly? And that's the one thing that is stopping people from doing anything. They're like, well, it doesn't matter anyway, because the elections aren't, you know, they don't have integrity. But I'm telling you, look at what Kelly Ward has been able to do in Arizona with election integrity. She's been a huge part of this push to the Senate there. Am I correct?
Yes. And she would be entirely more effective.
If.
Think of this.
Yep.
And when we had our we had our meeting in January when she got reelected as our chairwoman, we had 1,470 people that could have gone, 1,371 showed up. 1,371 of the millions of Republican voters were the on that day were the Republican Party, okay, the state committeemen of this state. But that number could have been three times as many. And if it was three times as many, we would have, because two-thirds of our slots are vacant, if we had our party at three times the strength it is, we'd have three times as many people telling these state legislators, get on this issue of election integrity and fix it, or you're out in the upcoming primary election in 2022. We're much more effective when we have the numbers. Politics is all about numbers. And that's my goal, is to make the Republican Party a conservative Trump party that has the clout numbers to change the outcome of the all-important primary election.
What if we had a different GOP chairwoman than Ronna McDaniel? What if we had the money that was raised being used to actually fight in these lawsuits that were brought before the 2020 election by Democrats? This is the single most effective way. Now, look, we've got a bunch of rhinos that are now trying to form their own party, a third party, because we literally kicked them out of their own party by sheer numbers, not because we did what you're saying. Imagine if we literally did what you're saying, how much power we would actually have in the future, you know, of this country. I cannot
Absolutely.
Stress, it works. I've done Yes. it before. It works.
Yes. Of course it works. It's uniting and organizing for real political action. And the tool that we have, the Republican Party, I'm not in love with the Republican Party. I'm in love with the fact that the Republican Party is our organizational tool for effecting the outcome of the primary elections, so we elect the best conservative in the primary to go on to the general to defeat the Democrat.
And truth be told, they don't want you to know. They want this to be empty. They
right.
don't want people to be doing this. They do not want you to know this stuff, because then,
yes.
right? I mean, explain that. They control
yeah,
everything.
Well,
then.
I'll give you a perfect example. If you ever gave money to the RNC or the the National Republican Senatorial Committee, National Republican Congressional Committee, your state party, you're in a database now, and you're receiving mailers from them and maybe emails as well if you gave them your email address. And what do they say? They essentially say this, hi, we need you. We need you to get involved and do a survey. We need you to help candidates. We need you to man the phones. We need you to, you know, whatever. We especially need your money. If you, it's a crisis, send us your money. What they will, those letters will never say this. Oh, by the way, we have a database of Republican voters. We know that you live in precinct, my precinct is Corbell precinct. We know you live in Corbell precinct, Dan. And guess what? Your precinct has 11 slots and only two are, I'm just ad-libbing this here. And only two of the slots are filled. You can be most powerful as a Republican if you become a precinct committeeman in our party, because then you get to vote for the leadership of the party. Then you get to help get out the vote, because you'll have access to the get out the vote software that we give to the precinct committeeman. Would you please consider becoming a precinct committeeman? You're never going to get that kind of a letter, which they could send you, because they don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
They want your time. They want your sweat equity. They really want your money. But they do not want you to know where the real power lies, and that is in becoming a voting member of the party. Precinct committeemen are the party. If there are no precinct committeemen, there's no party.
Frank, do you have any questions?
No, I think this is really right up the it's given me a lot more insight onto local mechanics of the whole thing. I didn't know anything about precinct committeemen or the way that, as you said, it's a bottom up feeder system, and it also puts a little bit more of a realistic and not so much realistic, but a little bit more of a tangible edge on
Let me say something real quick. Steve Bannon the other day said it's a pyramid, you know. But it's actually an upside down pyramid. The power chart is always upside down when it's displayed by an organization. A typical organizational chart for the Republican Party would show the RNC at the top, and then the state committees below them, the 50 state committees, well, there's, and the five territories in D.C., 168 members, three members from each of those entities, 168 members, and then below the state would be the county committees, okay? And below them would be the local, like, assembly district here in Arizona, legislative districts. And way down at the bottom are precincts and the lowly precinct committeemen. Turn that chart upside down. The real power is the precinct committeemen at the top, the collective precinct committeemen, all of the precinct committeemen, the right now 200,000 could be 400,000. They elect the officers of the legislative district committees, the local committees. They elect the county committee officers. They elect the state committee officers and state chairs. And they elect the electors who elect the RNC, the 168 members of the RNC. All of the power resides in the precinct committeemen. But tragically, where the party should be strongest at the precinct level, it's weakest. All of the counties, their officers are all filled. The state committee officers, it's all filled. All 168 RNC members are filled. But down at the top, at the precinct level, there's a power vacuum. Of the 400,000 slots, about 200,000 are vacant. If we fill up the 200,000 vacancies with Trump supporters, conservatives, now the power dynamic changes completely. And when you have the elections for the officers of all of those committees below you, all the way down to the RNC, the makeup is going to change dramatically. And that's what we have to do. And that's what they're afraid of. So eventually they'll try to squash me like a bug, but you know.
But you're in there. You've been in there.
Come at, yeah.
It's okay. Let them. You know, I've been through that nonsense before.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it at all.
So
there's power in numbers. There's power in numbers.
Yes, and so this is something, like I said, that everybody can do. So now what we were talking about the other day is getting. Excuse me. Trainings put together on all this for people.
Yeah, I have a lot of training materials on my blog, theprecinctproject.wordpress.com. If you nose around on it. You're going to see there's training videos. There's narrated PowerPoints that explain all this. You just have to sit down and spend a few minutes watching it all.
And then go do it.
Yes.
Like, that's the next thing. Get your friends together and just go do it. It takes nothing to go do this. And you probably will walk in there and there will be like 10 people. And you could be like, oh, you know, and make a difference.
Right. Well, like I said, the first meeting I went to, there could have been 160 people there. There were 20. And I said, where is everybody? And that, well, this is about normally what we get. Well, how many actual precinct committeemen do you have? 40 out of 160 slots were filled. So I started to change that here. You know, that was in 2007. Then Obama got elected. And then in 2009, I started. And one of the things I told, and I'm going to say it again, it's relevant now. I told every place I went to speak that would have me that had conservatives. I spoke to a lot of Tea Party groups. I would tell them, look, I can't guarantee you that if we all become precinct committeemen, everybody here in this room becomes a precinct committeeman and we take over the Republican Party. I can't guarantee you that we're going to save our republic as we know it and stop the slide into socialism. But I can guarantee you this. If we don't do this, we are going to slide into socialism. And that's what's happening right now because we haven't filled up all these slots. We are sliding into socialism and we're going to continue to slide into socialism unless we take over the Republican Party and make it a hammer against socialism, period.
Awesome. Frank, anything else before we say goodbye for now?
No, that's it for me. I really appreciate the time, Dan.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me.
No, I'm sure we'll get a ton of questions. This is I want this to be like the most downloaded podcast that we've done so far. People have been lost, not knowing what to do or how they can make a difference or how they can change things. This is how you do it. It works. I've done this before. I'm telling you that it works. If we didn't have a critical mass back then, we have a critical mass of people right now. And everybody who wants to be involved should be doing something about this right now. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much, Tracy. Thanks. Was it Frank or Fred?
Frank. Frank Schmuck.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Frank Thank Schmuck. You so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
And there it was. There it was, Frank.
There it was.
So you were very quiet, and the one time you tried to talk, he had something to say.
Well, it's okay. I heard all that was that needed to be said.
You're like, all right, go ahead.
You don't need me.
Yes, I do. I need you badly.
He came and laid it all out, and that was the best thing we could have done.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So listen, any questions, you know the email address, info@uncoverdc.com. Shoot me an email. Let's do this, people. Let us do this together. By the way, I'm going to my meeting, and before I'm done, I'll be in charge of this entire state.
Imagine that.
So you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
The one area holding the greatest potential for pushing your performance forward? Your brain. Your brain is kind of like a computer. You have the hardware, which is the brain, the nervous system, and the organs that provide all the feedback and information that make the system work. And then you have the software, the attributes and traits that make up the individual, things like personality and attitude, approach and decision-making, among others. On this week's episode of Crush Performance, we begin to put it all together by looking at how it all works and how we can influence this invisible part of human performance we're calling the Crush Brain Game.
Crush Performance with Jeff Crischel can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.